Remember when you were starting your career or starting something fresh? Or maybe you're starting now and it was exciting and new and you were learning and growing. You also thought that the company and your manager would help you guide your career path. Well, how's that going? My name is Todd Doherty and I host a podcast called Manage Me. I have 30 years of client, product, and operations experience from startups to retail to Fortune 100 companies. Listen in as I share real-world stories of business and life with solutions you can use. I'll have occasional fantastic guests that will share their insights as well. Come join me and learn real-world guides on how to be the most successful you and manage you. That's Manage Me Podcast and managemepodcast@gmail.com. Okay, welcome back, team. Todd Doherty with my Manage Me podcast. And I'm super excited today to have a special guest, Mark Halpert. We actually go way back. I should probably have done the math before I hit record here, but back in many, many years ago, gosh, I'm going to say 15 or more, Mark helped me establish my e-commerce business for Reed & Todd Jewelers and was just super knowledgeable back then with his payments industry expertise and helped me get set up, which he still continues to do. But today I am having him on the podcast to really speak a little bit about his journey through his career, but also particularly about personal branding and LinkedIn, because it's so important. So Mark, welcome to the podcast and thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Todd. Though we're not directly together, it's good to see you and talk to you again, because yeah, it's been a long, long time since we were together again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was based in Connecticut, moved to Georgia. So yeah, we don't even have a chance to, you know, grab a coffee or anything, but super excited to still be connected with you and been following you on LinkedIn for many years now, and actually went back and read your bio last night. Didn't realize that you were like really original LinkedIn member of 2004. Is that right? 17 years of LinkedIn?
Yeah. 17 years ago, there used to be a way where you could tell what number in the membership order you were. It's like 204,000. And now it's 774 million. That's 750 million people now.
That's
and crazy. It grows. The pandemic made it grow much faster because we needed this interactive connectivity that it provides.
Absolutely. And I'm you know, starting to really get big in over the last year into LinkedIn. So that's a big piece of what I want to talk to you about and help the team that is listening, because it's so important. I feel very passionate about LinkedIn. Microsoft felt very passionate about LinkedIn. Microsoft bought LinkedIn a number of years back. And I feel that people need to hear the story of LinkedIn, because resumes, the paper resume and all that stuff, at some point, probably in the very near future, my opinion is it won't be a paper resume. It'll be LinkedIn, or maybe even the next generation of LinkedIn, whatever that means.
Well, you can apply for many jobs on LinkedIn without a resume directly from your LinkedIn profile.
That's right.
Look, folks, I don't know if you're a job seeker. We're in the great job migration, the great resignation going on right now. There's a statistic out there, 53% of people polled by, I believe it was, well, I can't remember the source anymore. I can find it and give it to you for the podcast notes. 53% of the people polled said they would leave their industry, not just their company. Wow. They would make this big jump to a new industry. That's how dissatisfied people are right now. So when you're looking for a job, and I know we're not just talking to job seekers right now, but no matter who you are and where you are in your career, even if you're not thinking about a job, your LinkedIn profile is stop number one. The only place people go when they say, hey, you want to meet my friend Todd? Okay, cool. Look him up. And if I'm not immediately invested in a guy named Todd and he hasn't captured me in like 10 seconds, because that's our attention span right now,
yep,
then I'm off, I'm gone, and I never come back to Todd. So you've got to make your LinkedIn profile, as I call, kick ass, so that somebody says, bang, I want to know this person. Enough so that they like you, fall in like with you, enough to contact you, and the rest is up to you. And if it's up to you, you got to make them fall in love with you once they've made that initial contact to you. Absolutely. Then they refer you, then they hire you, then they keep going with you. And like you and I have been going back and forth for a long time. I recognize the value of the interaction. We don't talk frequently, but when we do, it's high quality. And that's how I keep touch with over 3,000 connections that I have and over 22,000 followers that I have. They know I add value. And every time you add value, you're memorable. And every time somebody says, hey, I need a guy who does this, you're flipping on that Rolodex, and that person in the front of that Rolodex in your head is saying, ah, there's a guy for you. Or I can give you two people. How's that sound? You pick the two. You want to be in those two or that one?
Right. Actually, you know, Mark, you just reminded me. So I changed roles in January. Very interesting during the pandemic and all that. Changed companies, not just roles, changed companies. And the phone call I got late last year, so I changed in January, so a couple months previous, was from an old contact that I used to work with, who said he was talking to his boss. They needed a certain particular resource, you know, person. And he thought literally, oh, let me see what Todd, I think it's Todd. Let me see. Let me look at his LinkedIn profile, looked at my LinkedIn profile, called me and said, you're the guy.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah. It was very flattering. I mean, of course, at the time as well, what you just said actually happened to me. And I'm not saying my LinkedIn profile is all that fantastic. It's okay. But the fact that someone needed a role, someone needed a person, looked that up on LinkedIn, validated and said, yep, I'm going to call Todd.
Well, you said two things really important here, and that is most people don't realize that LinkedIn has its own search mechanism. So I can look up any guy named Todd in the finance industry who used to work at Fiserv back in, you know, and went to college at, and, you know, has these search terms in his profile, because these are going to be in your profile, certain sections that are search engine sensitive on LinkedIn, and they'll find you, bang, right away. And the second thing you said that's really important is, you had ways to contact you on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Including, folks, big deal here, put your mobile phone number there. Because what if this guy only dealt in texting and you put your office number there? There's a dead end for somebody who had a job to offer you. He's got to work that much harder. And if he's got three other candidates that sort of fill the same role that Todd fills, you might not be so lucky as him looking and trying to find you and search and grab through every piece of data on everything on the internet. Make it easy to engage with you. Make your website, put your website there, put your email address there, your phone number, your text, your Twitter handle, every way that people can find you and see what you're doing.
Yeah, that's so important. Yes. Didn't even think of that. That's absolutely important. And, you know, some people are shy about putting those things in. I don't want to get contacted by so many people, but you can still manage that. It's, you know, just like your iPhone or whatever, you can, you know, block callers if they're harassing you or whatever you need to do. But I think because LinkedIn is very professional, on occasion you'll get a spam email or spam phone call, but by and large, I don't find that I get random phone calls of people trying to sell me stuff.
All right. There's a lot of that going on right now, unfortunately. You know, hi, my name is Joe. I saw your profile. I'd really like to connect with you. And then you connect with them. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that. But let's say you do. Suddenly he's selling. You want to buy a bridge? I got this great bridge. And you really need to buy it. And here's why. And you're like, oh, too much. Get this guy. All right. You can block him. Just like you said, you can block somebody on your cell phone. Stop being private, folks. Your stuff is out there. Don't put your birth date on LinkedIn. Don't put your mother's maiden name. Please don't make it that easy to find you. But think about ways people want to engage with you. And what if you're not looking for a job, but you have a friend who's looking for a job? Because we all do. What if a headhunter comes your way and says, I've got this great job. And if it doesn't apply to you, might you know somebody that you could refer this to? And then you're a good guy. You've done something really good for somebody else. And that guy gets a job. Then everybody's served. So stop thinking that you're being hunted, because you're not being hunted. You should be hunting. You should be hunting for new business. We are gatherers of connections at this point in the human existence. We thrive on connections. We only thrive on and nurture other connections that are valuable to us, where we can help 51% and receive back 49%. Adjust the ratio, however you perceive yourself, however you can help people. I get a lot of people say to me, no one really cares what I think. No one really wants to contact me. Yeah, that's because you've built this environment around you where no one really cares about you. When you fix your LinkedIn profile, you renovate it, and this is an area I excel in. I take people who are in the midst of job change, industry change, life change. I mean, I just finished working. I'm working with another guy. Finished working with a guy who had 38 years at a company, never worked anywhere else but that company, had mandatory retirement, didn't know what the hell to do with himself.
Wow.
He knew he had value to offer. We rewrote his entire terrible LinkedIn profile to start with to something, as I say, kick-ass, where it really talks. People get his value.
That's awesome.
I pulled every tooth out of his head to make him talk about himself.
Well, because that's hard, right?
Yeah.
People, I mean, I always coach people. So a couple of things I just want to touch on, because you said so much right there. So one was I started in LinkedIn and it was kind of like, well, I'll just put it up as a resume, right? And then a couple of years back, what I started to do was I'm going to call it give back. You know, people are always looking for jobs. And if I can connect someone, you know, I know someone who's looking for a job and I know someone who's looking for that resource, that type of person, I'm connecting all the time. What value do I get out of that? None, maybe a little satisfaction, but
psychic satisfaction,
psychics, karma, right?
Yeah. It's huge.
It is. And that's good. The second part was, I want to go back on, one area we were talking about, which is when you do and don't connect to people, and you and I have talked about this a bit in the past, I personally only connect with someone who I know, have done business with, or in some circumstances where it's like a second degree connection. Like I know Mark and his friend Bob, we were going to connect because I may need Bob resources or Bob may need something from me, but that's kind of about it. What are your thoughts?
I'm with you until the very last thing that you said.
Okay. Bob, okay? I like Bob.
All right, Bob. You know, if Bob's connected to Mary and you're connected to Bob and Mary approaches you to connect, you better call Bob first and say, hey, Bob, do you know Mary? What can you tell me about her to let me know that she's really valuable? I'll tell you a real life story. Guy in Amsterdam, who I'm very close to, said, you know, I got a lot of connections. I don't know what they're going to do. And he was exactly right. And they started connecting to me. And I said, oh, really interesting. So somebody approached me and I was like, I was really kind of iffy about this person's profile. It didn't all add up. And I called, I emailed my friend Perry and I said, hey, Perry, so-and-so just tried to connect with me. What do you know about this person? He goes, I shouldn't have connected to that person. It really isn't going well. And yeah, does this sound like an exception? No, it's really common. All right. So we all end up connecting to people we probably shouldn't, which behooves every one of us to look at our profile and our connections and say, should I stay connected to these people? Here's the way that you make an annual recap of who you should stay connected to. LinkedIn will tell you every time that person has a work anniversary. And if LinkedIn says, hey, Todd has had a work anniversary, you go, who the hell is Todd?
Right.
Why did I connect to this guy? I've contacted him, he doesn't respond, or I contact him, I get back a lot of salesy garbage. I think it's a good opportunity for LinkedIn to remind me this is not a relationship that is going anywhere and disconnect. It's healthy to weed out the connections.
That's great advice. Yeah. And I do that on occasion, but I should probably be better at it. But that's great advice because I think there's a limit, right, on LinkedIn of number of connections that you can't
18,000, but you won't get there.
18,000.
Okay, yeah. I know people who do get to 18,000. What do? They say, oh, I'll be really smart. I think I'll open a second LinkedIn profile. Well, that's really dumb because you don't know who's who on LinkedIn. You ever look on somebody, search for somebody on LinkedIn, you see like two or three LinkedIn profiles, the exact same person? Even if they don't have 18 or 20,000 connections, who do I connect to? What do people do? You confuse them. They leave. They don't spend any more time with you. They got other stuff to do.
I always
don't confuse people.
Yeah, I always wondered why people had more than one. I always thought it was just a mistake. They made a mistake while they were setting up their profile or something and started
over. Big mistake, because then we don't know who to address it to.
Right, right. So we dove right in to LinkedIn stuff, which is great. And I definitely want to talk about that. But I also want to talk about you. You are such a success and so knowledgeable about LinkedIn because you yourself have gone through this journey of changing your career. And you're I love the term multipreneur, sorry, pronounced that wrong. Love that.
Say it enough times, you'll get it down because yeah. I say it all the time.
Absolutely. And I'm kind of this very similar. I've had all sorts of, you know, jobs and roles and side companies and all sorts of stuff. So I heard that term I think there's a TED talk on it. And I heard that and I said, yeah, that's actually me too. But you have taken to the next level. So tell me a little bit about your journey from where you started and kind of we know where you are now. We want to talk a lot more about your LinkedIn and coaching and your books that you've written as well. So, but tell us a little bit about your journey.
Okay. Banker, didn't like that. Corporate finance guy, did that too long. Company got acquired. They offered me a position in the Netherlands, looked at the town in the Netherlands. My daughter was a rising high school senior, not going to the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So I left. But in the last few days of the last corporate job I had, we developed something, you know, put yourself back to 1999 and 2000, the first internet-based credit card processing platform ever.
Wow, that's cool.
Okay, so I'm a dinosaur. I mean, I rode that baby. And they said, the acquiring company said, really not interested in that. We don't think it has legs. Well, okay, you can make your mistake. And I went on with it. And I found that as a new business. I made that my business. I aligned myself with a credit card processor. I decided to start marketing to people like you as e-commerce was developing. And I had a great developer with me. And you know, he lives in Salt Lake City and we are very close friends now for 18 years. I speak to him sometimes in a day more than I speak to my wife. It's amazing what our relationship has become, and we couldn't be more completely opposite people, but that's the world. And did that for a while. And in 07, 08, when the economy was downturned, looking for new credit card processing clients, and a friend of mine said, hey, there's this thing called LinkedIn you ought to look into. I said, I don't really need it. It's not that important. I've got my Rolodexes and my friends. And then I said, you know, maybe I should listen to this guy. He's tossing something my way that sounds like something I should look into. Started going to a lot of classes, started to think I knew a lot more than the teachers because they were answering the questions incorrectly. And here I am sitting in the back room going, and I'm paying for this? I should get paid for teaching the same thing. Started as a LinkedIn profile coached people, still do. And by the way, the credit card processing company does continue on, but that's how I meet new LinkedIn clients. And the flip side, how LinkedIn helps me meet new credit card processing clients, so they counteract. Started teaching people how to express themselves on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's been developing, changing dramatically in the background. I'm developing clients through the changes. Started saying to myself, you know, I could teach every person in the world, but why not start teaching groups? So the LinkedIn business morphed to not only coaching individuals, but teaching groups, and did a gig for a year with a really well-known law firm where I was their in-house LinkedIn coach and trainer, and I trained the entire firm. There's still more to do, the firm's changing. So that, and I've taught a lot of organizations, associations like the New Jersey Executive Women's Association. I come in and I speak about things that executives should be doing or things that nonprofits should be doing to be better on LinkedIn. Wrote a book on LinkedIn for nonprofits, the only book on the market for LinkedIn for nonprofit professionals because they have to look, sound, and taste like business professionals. Kept going, started writing the first book for lawyers. The American Bar Association approached me to write the book in 2017, wrote that book, wrote the second edition for that book that came out this past April, 48% more new material in that book. Everything's changed, lots of great supplements, lots of great stories, guest chapters. I mean, I go on and on. My business continues to morph. That LinkedIn business is now not just only coaching and training, but now I do event consulting, how to push an event out through LinkedIn. I'm working on three events right now. One is a riverboat cruise in Europe, which is about to sail a year from last June. So we're beginning to market to high net worth individuals who want to take this riverboat cruise, really unique in its own way. I'm working with a guy who's rebranding his company right now. And I'm working with a law firm that's trying to beat out the competition locally. So there's a lot of really interesting twists and turns and wrinkles that I happen to get referred into, which is the best way to find new business. So it works. It really can work if you work it. And I work it every day.
Absolutely. Let me just mention your books a little bit, which I will put in the podcast notes. But the first one is LinkedIn Marketing Techniques for Law and Professional Practices, published by the American Bar Association. That's the one you just said, second edition, 48% new content. So
that's right.
That's the first one. That's awesome.
In paperback and soon to be in Kindle, August 23rd. It's coming up soon.
Awesome. And your second book is already in Kindle and paperback, which is You, Us, Them, LinkedIn Marketing Concepts for Nonprofit Professionals Who Really Want to Make a Difference. And I will put both of those in our meeting notes. And there they are.
Right. Perfect. Both on Amazon, folks. No surprise. I find that my books are my biggest business card. So the more, once you publish somehow, then they really take you seriously. Okay. So the first book, so flattered. I'm not a lawyer. The American Bar Association approached me to write the book. They said, just write it for lawyers. I said, nope, not doing it. And they said, what? I said, no, not just for lawyers, because I know a lot of lawyers who hate being lawyers and they want to stop being lawyers. Of course, the Bar Association has to recognize not everybody's made out to be a lawyer. So they said, you know, interesting you say that. We're beginning to take this tangent to approach lawyers who want to go elsewhere. We want to talk to lawyers who are financiers, want to talk to lawyers who are investors, want to talk to lawyers who are chefs, lawyers who are stand-up comics in comedy clubs, and you know, and I mean, they're lawyers doing all sorts of stuff. Hey, want to talk to new lawyers who just come out of law school, because folks, here you are in 2021, they still don't teach self-branding in law school. Unbelievable. Not everybody goes into a big firm. A lot of people go out and create their own firm, and they're sitting there going, why is the phone ringing? When are people going to call me? I mean, you can't just grow your business from word of mouth referral. You have to be out on the preeminent social media platform for business people, and that's LinkedIn. So they have these terrible LinkedIn profiles, cut paste resume. Oh my God, please. I don't care what you do. Never cut and paste your resume onto LinkedIn, because it looks like you're cheap. It looks like you're lazy. You need to complement your resume with your LinkedIn material. Use both pieces of real estate really, really well. You don't know who looks at your profile. You need to grab them immediately. Back to what we were saying before. So they said, well, good. So I said, well, let's go another step. Let's talk about lawyers who are not only just lawyers, but have several other businesses. Like, I'm a multipreneur, so I can write it from the multipreneurial point of view. Perfect. Do it. Done. Started writing the book. Ready to send, ready to go, ready to print. LinkedIn changes the whole user interface. Remember that?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Called up the Bar Association and said, I don't care where that book is. Stop the presses. Literally, stop the press. And they said, we can't. I said, you have to. Because either we print the last bad book on LinkedIn or we print the first good book on LinkedIn. You decide. Okay, do it. You've got 90 days. Rewrite the whole thing. And I did.
Wow.
And that did well. Then I saw there were a lot of new things. It was from that 1 year gig with the law firm and other sort of lawyers and other people that I've been working, all professionals. I decided to write it from a more professional practitioner point of view. Yes, there's a chapter in there about legal ethics, because we have to do that. And it's very, very important right now. If you're a lawyer listening in, you got to know this stuff, you know, and if you're a financier, you got to know this stuff, because you've got compliance people breathing down your neck. I wrote it from all different perspectives. Bar Association loved it. It the second edition is so much broader, so much more inclusive under the auspices of the American Bar Association. So that it's done really well. I'm really pleased with it. Like I said, it's going into Kindle. So you can not only get it either way, but hey folks, it's a great gift. It's a great thank you for a client that really helped you. It's a great, you got a kid going through college and they're getting ready to get leave college. They need to know how to use LinkedIn. You've got a friend who's got a son, daughter in law school. They're not teaching this in law school. This is an easy read. It's fun. It's full of dad jokes like me. It's my perspective. It's my voice speaking to you. And people tell me it's fun to read. That's the intention.
That's awesome. So a quick question. It's written, its original intent was for lawyers, but am I hearing that like anyone could read it?
Anyone. Anyway, I have people from all over the place saying, I'm not a lawyer. I picked it up anyway. That's why the title is LinkedIn Marketing Techniques for Law and Professional Practices.
Gotcha.
And everything we do is a professional practice. So accountants, architects, insurance brokers, Indian chiefs. I don't care what you do. You better be professional in what you do and tell your best story. Get out from under yourself. Stop being afraid about talking about yourself. Be yourself. Be relevant. Be relatable. Be approachable. Be intelligent, provide content, provide quality. Don't worry about quantity. Quality, the more you put quality out there, if you read me, you see I do a lot of projection of what I'm trying to show through my lens. People want to read it. I've had people from all over the world. A woman from Iran sent me a message in Farsi saying, thank you so much. You're telling us things we don't get to see here. I can't believe I found you. Thank you, thank you. I mean, it's like gushing. And it was written in Farsi. I had taken to my friend in the city who knows Farsi. And he said, oh my God, Mark, you got such a nice compliment here. So many things can be done on LinkedIn. I have taught exterminators. I have taught women in car repair. You name it, I have taught it because everybody can relate. It's a platform that you build based upon what you're trying to develop.
Absolutely. I want to go back and touch on one thing that you said there, maybe more, but one of the things, so I do a lot of coaching. I just finished coaching a young woman who she knows exactly what she wants to do. I was very surprised because she originally came to me for some coaching and it appeared that she just didn't know. She just didn't know what she wanted to do, what her next step was. She kind of came across as very confused, but literally 10 minutes into the conversation, I was able to pull out, she knew exactly what she knew, because I have a philosophy when you're, and this is in particular about career change, and I shouldn't say my philosophy, actually was given to me by someone I worked with 20 years ago, and when you're looking for your next role, it's four areas you need to focus on in this order: geography, industry, company, and then the role. And so many people just focus on the role. But I kind of started coaching her, walking her through those four areas, and she knew exactly where she wanted to. She lives in Georgia right now. She knew exactly what city she wanted to be in, California. She knew exactly what industry she wanted to be in. She knew the companies in that area, and she knew the three or four different types of roles. And I was like, so why aren't you telling that story to everyone you meet? And we started to talk about, you just mentioned it. And I'm paraphrasing, don't be afraid to talk about yourself. And so many people are, whether it's LinkedIn or your interview or your resume, this is the only time where it's okay to brag about yourself. Well, I shouldn't say maybe not the only time, but it's absolutely acceptable. And we should be doing that. But culturally, a lot of us just don't feel like that's appropriate. But your coaching, and I totally agree with it, is LinkedIn should just basically scream at you of all your success and all the things that you do well.
Scream nicely.
Scream nicely, yes.
Okay. Scream as quietly as you are comfortable with. If you're funny, you can be a little funny on LinkedIn. If you're serious, you can be a little less serious on LinkedIn. Here's the best thing about LinkedIn. People read fast, okay? They skim your profile. They're looking for things. If they even found you on the search, they looked for certain search terms. So you're already qualified for what they're looking for. But if they read you and they say, not really, there's a disconnect here because I was looking for this and I'm not seeing that, they leave. If they get the connection and the bells go off in their head, wow, shortlist person, really like this person, They read intently. They hang on every word. You have to make them see the career narrative of your story. You have to tell a story. Telling a story is the oldest profession in the world. Some might disagree, but I will tell you it is probably one of the oldest professions in the world. And the reason it survived all these thousands of years is that we as humans need to know they were challenged, they redeemed themselves, they rose to the occasion. We are inspired. Every movie, every novel, every career, every resume tells those stories. When you can talk about yourself and you are interviewing, whether it's for a job or you're qualifying yourself for a contract that you're looking to gain, or you're trying to pitch for a piece of business you are, they're probably listening to you on the phone and looking at your LinkedIn profile at the same time. We can multitask these days. Not well, but we can. And you need to be a constant package, a brand. The brand of Mark talks about the same things. I'm doing it now. You read my LinkedIn profile. You'll see me talking about it in the same intonation. You can hear me talking to you when you read me, when you read my book, when you read my profile. This is who you are. You don't like me? Okay, I get that. You like me? Okay, I get that too. So if you're an entrepreneur, or if you're a job seeker, or if you're even thinking about leaving your job, you better have a highly polished LinkedIn profile that tells the story before they call you. Then when they call you, you get to expand upon what they already know about you. You earned your way in. Now sign a deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the big aspect is, I totally agree with you, is the story, right? Before the written language, that's how we communicated and passed along knowledge, was through stories, right? So humans are just intrinsically wired to hear and remember and retell stories. So
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
Humans are better wired to remember stories where they see a visual cue that reinforces the words of the story. Okay. True. So folks, LinkedIn, very YouTube friendly, very graphic friendly, lots of PDFs, lots of Word documents, lots of video. Can't express that often enough, because they will remember. So the words and the image and the color and the action all need to paint the picture.
Absolutely. That's great too. Yeah. As LinkedIn has evolved, video, attaching PDF and documents and linking to articles that you may have written or been a part of. Yeah, absolutely. You want to connect all those, right?
Exactly. And you want to also opine about other people's articles. In your posts, you read something, you think it's worth sharing, just don't pop it up there. Tell us why it was important to you. I'm big about why. Simon Sinek's why. If you don't know it, watch the TED Talk. Start with why. 18 minutes of pure bliss. Can't tell it any better. I watch it frequently. The book itself, wonderful book. Start with why. Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. You can't tell what. You must rise to why. And that's really hard for some people. It's really hard for people to sign on with people who just talk about why. When they become part of your tribe, they've adhered to your why. And that's where you move as a group or as an individual. You enter, you opt in, you network up into a group. You've now accomplished something and you continue to move as a mass of people, and you bounce into new networking groups, new companies, new people you can rely upon. That tribe grows. That tribe becomes an entourage of trusted individuals. You can pick the right trusted individuals to look and tell you whether they like something you've developed or it has legs, and maybe you want to think of doing something a little different because I've seen a need for this. So tap into the expertise that you know, trust, feel the love from. Leave some of the other people out of it. Only find those right people. I'm about to launch an animation of my work. 30 seconds, going to be a whole lot of fun. I've got these wonderful animators in Florida who are working on it for me. I'm going to start pumping it on LinkedIn. I'm going to start introducing it. I'm going to start pushing it out there. I want to be memorable for a reason. Just like when you smiled when I said an animation, everybody goes, wow, an animation? I wonder what it looks like. And it's a little animated me, and it looks like me a little bit more hair, but they were being nice to me. Okay, I like that. But it's my voice. And then I have a couple of lines from some of my clients who actually voiced over it into my animation. Of animated copies of them and why they like working with me. So I'm here to have fun and be honest and straightforward and relevant and useful and helpful at the same time. So maybe it's just where I am in my career, but I've always been this way. So you may as well get me and see me as I really am.
That's awesome. Yeah. As soon as you said animation cartoon, I just lit up because I can almost, I haven't seen it obviously, but I can almost visualize it because I love your energy and passion in real person, in real time. I can only imagine what that will look like as an animation. That's fantastic.
I had to slow down in the animation because they said, we're not getting all the words. You're clipping your words like you normally, I always do. But they said they wanted to capture the personality. I met with them a bunch of times. We went back and forth through a script and all that. I said the things, the buzzwords that I like people to remember about me, like you have to be amazinger than the competition. I love that. All right. Why do you do what you do? That's another thing too. So, I mean, all these things that I teach, and if we had hours to talk about, you'd hear me go on and on. I can talk about this topic because it's been successful for me. And why has it been successful for me? Because I've worked really hard at it. And so you can't take me to lunch and expect me to look at your LinkedIn profile. I don't work for money. I don't work for food. I'm looking for serious clients who want to spend serious bucks and get a serious product returned. And then they know how to use it. You don't buy a Chevrolet when you want luxury. All right. If you're a Chevrolet driver, I'm sorry. But I mean, the concept I'm trying to make here is you want to tell people you've made the investment in yourself.
Absolutely. Great advice. Just cracked me up because just 2 nights ago, I had to explain to my daughter that Oldsmobile was actually a real name of a car, not not an old person. I wasn't referring to an old person's car. It was actually a brand.
Well, a lot of brands have gone away in our lifetimes. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Well, we could actually talk for hours and hours about this. And you're super passionate about it. I am super passionate about it. I'm super excited to be able to have this mechanism, this podcast, to be able to connect with people like you, to be able to hear your story, your value, your mission in life, if you will, and be able to share that with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. And again, the podcast is very new, it's a couple months old at this point, but I am getting a great response. And I know that there are listeners who are going to hear this and listen and say, I need that help. I'm on LinkedIn but I'm not doing what I think I need to do, or I'm changing careers or whatever, all the things that we just mentioned over the last couple minutes here. And I definitely encourage you to reach out to Mark because he is, there are other LinkedIn coaches, sorry, Mark, but I think that Mark is absolutely the one that just truly gets it because he lived it. He did it. He's, and worked really, really, really hard at it. And it's certainly the success has shown. So
if I could jump in, listeners, if you're going to look at my LinkedIn profile, I'd love that. That's great. I'm not going to connect with you. I just need to manage the expectations right now. I only connect to people I've worked through, gotten to know through business, gotten to know really well, as we said earlier on. If you'd like to follow me, that's a whole nother story. Follow me on LinkedIn. Add to the tens of thousands I'm very fortunate to have following me. You will get everything I put out there every day, 8 a.m. every morning. I've got a blog post. Weekday morning. So there's something going out about LinkedIn. It will always be educational, always be useful, always be experiential from something I've seen, something that I want people to know how you can better yourself. Follow me. If I can help you, I'd be very happy to help you. I don't hard sell my services. Like I said, I'm looking at serious bucks, serious clients. But nonetheless, there's some people who say, I need this guy. And here I am. So you can find me at LinkedIn, linkedin.com/in/MarkHalpert, MarkHalpert. And I'll repeat it one more time, Todd, and I'll give it back to you. linkedin.com/in/MarkHalpert. You'll get the entire world, according to Mark, on LinkedIn and watch the material I put out on an ongoing basis.
Awesome. And I promise I will put all that in the episode notes as well.
Thanks.
One last thing. Yes, I was going to say follow Mark because he has great advice and you learn a lot by following Mark. And he's fun. He's fun to read. He's fun to, you know, kind of brightens up your day when you read that morning blog post. Also, something I'm learning from LinkedIn is about 97% of the people who are interacting, I'll say, with me on LinkedIn are just lurking. They're not actually interacting. They're actually lurking. So I'll post something and I'll get, you know, 2.5% or so of the folks that will actually like or comment or whatever. But 97% are just watching and observing. So it's fascinating to me.
Well, do more than watch and observe and go beyond liking, folks. If I could just leave this like one last bit of advice.
I knew that was going to trigger you.
just send that cattle prod in. You know, liking makes me crazy. If you're going to click like, don't bother, because you're not telling Todd or me or anybody else why you like something. Spend a couple of seconds and say, great post, Todd. Really agreed with point number 3. I've seen it in action. Keep going, Todd. Thank you so much. Doesn't take time. Doesn't take a lot of time to say that. Todd feels good. You feel good because you congratulated Todd and added your perspective. Everybody who reads Todd, everybody reads you, gets to see that you were engaged with this. They want to read whatever Todd put out there. And the conversation, the global conversation in the business community around the world is what LinkedIn ultimately is, our way of helping each other. So don't like, don't just lurk, be engaged.
Great advice. As that was coming out of my mouth, I thought, oh boy, I may have hit a trigger here. Hold on. No, appreciate it. So Mark Halper, thank you so much. So great to have you as a professional and personal connection in my life. Really appreciate all you do. And I know there's hundreds and maybe thousands of folks that feel the same way. Can't thank you enough for taking some time today and spending time with me selfishly, but also sharing all of your great wisdom with all the listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I had a ball and I always do. So it's great to see you. And we'll keep this relationship going forever. It's just a great thing.
Absolutely. Thanks again.